And as we said earlier, our theme this summer is tell your story, give God glory. And I want us to look this morning at a time where a man had the opportunity to do just that. Look in John chapter 9 with me. And we're going to quickly look at this fantastic story of a man who had the opportunity to tell his story. In John chapter 9, we're going to begin there at verse 1. John chapter 9. This is a story about a blind man that Jesus came across, and Jesus took time to heal the blind man. Just so happened that this was on the Sabbath, and so some of the Pharisees didn't like it a whole lot, and we're going to look at the exchange that took place there. As we go through the story, I want you to notice, first of all, that the man told his story. We're just going to look at what happened that day, and the first thing we see is that he told his story. All right, let's look at it in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth." Now, jump down to verse 6. "When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,'" which is translated sent. "So he went away and washed and came back seeing." Now, on some other day, we'll take time to think about why he did it this way. Jesus can heal in any way he wants, and why did he choose this way to do it? And we'll look at that some other time. Suffice it to say this morning that there are three different stories in the gospel of him healing a blind person, and all three stories he did it in a different way. I think very quickly the main reason there is so that we don't get caught up in how he did it, but who did it. You know, the point is not how did Jesus create a miracle, but the fact that Jesus is the one who created the miracle. So let's leave it at that for now and just understand that he told the man, put this stuff on your eyes. He made mud, basically, and he put it on his eyes, and then he told the man, go and get cleaned up. Go wash your face in the pool of Siloam. He gave the man something that the man had to do in order to participate in the activity. It wasn't just to snap your fingers and you're done, here it is. Jesus wanted the man to accept some responsibility for it and to participate in it. So Jesus gave him away. He said, here's the mud, now you go and you clean it up. And now let's look at verse 8. "Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, 'Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?' Others were saying, 'This is he.' Still others were saying, 'No, he is like him.'" And so you can see the conversation. "Hey, isn't that the beggar who used to be over on Main Street at first?" And they said, "No, yeah, that, you know," somebody would say, "Yeah, that's him." Somebody else, "No, it just looks like him. He's wearing the same t-shirt, but that's not the same guy," right? He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." He told his story. What happened in his life was that the people around him, it says his neighbors and friends, the people around him noticed that something was different about him. Of course, in his case, it was very obvious, wasn't it? I mean, he used to be blind beggar. Now he's walking around seeing. And so, but they noticed that something was different about him, and they said, "How did this happen? What changed in your life?" And he used that as an opportunity to tell the story. First, John told us what happened, and then the blind man told us what happened. He told his story. And when they asked a question he didn't know, did you see what he did? They said, "Well, where is this man?" And did you see what he said in verse 12? They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." I think one of the reasons that some of us are a little bit uneasy and unsure about telling our story is we're afraid somebody might ask a question that we don't know the answer to. What if I start telling them about Jesus and they ask a question I don't know? I think the best thing to do is take this guy's advice, follow his example. All you have to do is say, "I don't know." Because you're not there to be an expert in theology. You're just there to tell your story, and you do know your story. So when they ask a question that you don't know, ain't no big thing. You say, I don't know. It's not that hard. We have to learn to do it for some reason, but it's not hard. He told his story, and when there was a question he didn't know, he just said, I don't know. All right, let's look at the next thing he did. He expressed his faith. Picking it up at verse 13 now, they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes and I washed and I could see. He told his story again. These folks brought him to the Pharisees and they said, hey, Pharisees, something happened to this dude. And so they said, well, what happened? He said, well, he made clay, washed my eyes. He told his story again. Look at 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. The Pharisees all of a sudden weren't thinking about the story. Now they're thinking about how they can get Jesus. There, some are saying, hey, he can't be from God because he worked on the Sabbath. And others are saying, but he got to be from God because the dude can see. And so they're kind of back and forth and they're split. Look at 17. So they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. He expressed his faith. Now understand, for you and me, when he says he's a prophet, that doesn't sound like that big a deal. But for them, remember, they didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. For him, he is expressing that this is a man of God. A prophet was the one who did miracles in the Old Testament. He's saying, this is a prophet. This is a man from God. The Pharisees were split back and forth, fighting which way. Is he a man of God or is he not? And this guy who told his story expressed his faith, and he said, yes, Jesus is a man from God. He told his story, and that allowed him to express his faith. Guys, I tell you what, we'll just go without it, and I'll carry on from here. Number three, his parents could only tell part of the story. That's the third thing that happened in this text. The parents could only tell part of a story. Let's pick that up at verse 18. The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Then how does he see? Now they asked two questions. See, they didn't believe the blind man, who now wasn't the blind man. They didn't believe him, so they brought in his parents, and they asked the parents two questions. First, they asked, is this, sure enough, your son? And then they asked, how can he see now? That if he's your son, how can he see? What changed now? And his parents, in verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Question number one, is this your kid? Question, or answer number one, yes. Question number two, how did it happen? Verse 21, but how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. You see, they couldn't tell the whole story because it wasn't their story. They only knew from their perspective. They couldn't tell his story. He's the only one who can tell his story, and you can tell where I'm going with that, right? It's your story. What God has done in your life is your story. You're the only one who can completely tell it. When I was just starting out in youth ministry, I listened to a guy whose name was Mike Warnke. Mike Warnke was really a comedian, but on his album, you know, remember back when we had the big round kind of plastic album thing? You actually played it on the stereo thing in the dining, you know, in the dining room. And you put the needle in. Yeah. I was listening to this big thing, and he's telling his story about when he served in Vietnam. And it's a tremendous story, and I won't go into it, but it takes about 20 minutes to tell this story about his service over there and what he learned there and how he lived out an experience that wound up helping him understand heaven. And I was so moved by that story that I wanted to share it with others. And I had an opportunity to speak at a youth banquet thing. And so I got up and I told his story as my speech. And it was dead. I mean, they weren't with me at all. It was boring. I wanted to go to sleep. And you know why? The main reason is it wasn't my story. It moved me when he told it because it was his story. But when I told it, it wasn't quite the same. You have a story, and you're the only person in all of the world, in all of creation, in all of time, who can really tell your story. Whatever God has done in your life, you tell your story to give Him glory, and you're the best person who can do that. So he told his story, he expressed his faith. His parents could only tell part of the story. And then the next thing I want you to notice is that he gave God glory. When he told his story, he gave God glory. In verse 24 now of our text, in verse 24, so a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. Now those two things don't seem to go together. And let me tell you what's happening here. He came before the Pharisees. They didn't like what he said, so they brought the parents. They didn't still really like what they said, so they brought the guy back. And this time they said, give God glory. In other words, you better be careful because if you lie or if you say what we don't like, then you're going to be in trouble with God. Give God glory in what you're about to say. And then before they ask him, is Jesus a sinner? Before they ever get to the testimony, they tell the guy what they expect this hearing to find. They said, give God glory because we know he's a sinner. Now help us prove it, is kind of what they're saying, all right? So in 24, they said, give God glory. We know this man's a sinner. Verse 25, he then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Though I was blind, now I see. See, they were trying to manipulate him. They were trying to intimidate him. But he actually did give God glory because he didn't play their games. He just said, I don't know about your argument about who he is or if he's a sinner or not. All I know is yesterday I was blind and today I see. You remember when we did the cardboard testimonies? His cardboard testimony would be so simple. He would hold up one side and it would say blind. He'd turn it over and it would say, I see. That's his story. That's all there was to it. I once was blind, but now I see. He didn't get distracted or sidetracked. He didn't get sucked into the argument. He just simply told his story, and that's what gives God glory. You remember the movie City Slickers? In City Slickers, there's a guy named Mitch who's out trying to learn how to rustle cattle and how to brand and all that kind of stuff, trying to become tough. And while he's out there, he meets a real tough guy named Curly. And they're riding along one time, and Curly says to Mitch that the secret to life is one thing. The secret to life is, oh, hey, we got it. The secret to life is one thing. And Mitch says, well, that's great, but what's the one thing? And Curly says, that's what you've got to figure out. And see, the point is, the secret to life is finding the one thing that's most important to you. That's what Paul meant when he said, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. He had found his one thing. And when we tell our story, we have to keep focused. The one thing is just to tell my story and give God glory. When others try to pull me into an argument, I don't have to go there. When they try to distract me or sidetrack me, I don't have to go there. I just want to tell my story. Just tell people what God has done for me. And it's okay for you to say, I don't know all those arguments. I don't know those answers or questions. All I know is, this is who I used to be, and this is who I am now. I once was blind, but now I see. You see, he gave God glory. He just told his story. I don't understand all there is about God. I can't get into theological arguments and discussions every time I try to talk about him. I don't understand all the questions and the debates that some may raise, but I can still tell my story. I don't understand his omnipotence, but I know that no matter how bad things have gotten in my life, he has been able to get me through them, to hold me together, to shelter me through the storms. I know he's been my rock and my fortress. I don't understand his omniscience, but I know that every time I've had a problem, he knew the solution. I don't understand omnipresence, but I know that no matter where I go, he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but I know I can face tomorrow because he got me through yesterday. My dad died when I was 8 years old, and through the years, God showed me that he was the father to the fatherless. Later, when I couldn't be a father myself, he comforted me and brought me peace. Later, when I was a father and my daughter was in pain off and on for about 5 years and the doctors couldn't help her, he gave us faith to keep trusting him until she could finally be healed. Later, when my father-in-law was killed in a car wreck, God gave me strength to help the family get through that time. Later, when my world blew up, he was there to help me put it back together. He has brought me so far and through so much, I know I can trust him for whatever comes next. I don't understand how he does it. I can just tell you, I've lived it, he does it. I just tell my story and give him glory. You see, then the man is able to tell his story and he speaks with courage to those who are listening. And then I want you to jump forward to verse 35 and we're done. Jump forward to 35. Because what happens is the Pharisees don't like what the guy says, so they kick him out of church. Imagine that. They kicked him out of church because they didn't like what he said. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one talking with you." The guy says, I'll believe. If you tell me to believe, I'll believe. You just tell me who he is. And Jesus says, "You're looking at him, baby. With those new eyes that work now that didn't work yesterday, you're looking at him. I'm the Son of Man. Do you believe?" You see, here's the point. His story was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. When you tell your story, you're not telling the conclusion. When you tell your story and give God glory, it's just the beginning. We're just getting started. You see, because we're going to tell that story for the rest of our life, and all along life, God is adding new chapters with new exciting adventures and mysteries to tell. And then as we tell that story, one of these days, we're going to wind up with him in glory, and we're just going to keep on telling the story for all eternity, bringing him glory. I hope you're going to be there and be a part of it. I hope that you have a story to tell. I hope that you're letting God change your life and fill you and guide you and lead you so that you've got a story to tell.